Jananjana Salakaya Chakshulam Nidatam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manuvistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svaiham Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Tva Pandantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Patakamalan Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatan Sahagana Ragunatan Nitanschatam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishaka Nitanscha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Samin Iti Namine Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschata Desha Tarine Vanchakalpa Tadu Vaischa Vipasindu Vivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namini Gode Tishe Namaha. He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishri Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Kananami Hari Priye. Let's find out what it says. What does it say? Huh? Can you read it? Okay, let's try it out. It's the third pillow we're going through. Pretty confusing when you have no choice to. First of all, we have offered our obeisance to all of the presiding deities, Srila Prabhupada, Sri Sri Gaurinitai, Sri Sri Radha Govardhanadhari, Sri Krishna Balaram, and Sri Giri Govardhan, and all the assembled Vaishnavas. to that. It is a great pleasure to be back at New Govardhan Dham. I first came here in 1978, so I have remembrance of this place from a very long time. At that time we only had the White House down at the bottom, and there weren't too many devotees at that time here, maybe 10 devotees or so. But I thank you very much for allowing me to come here. Thank the deities and Srila Prabhupada. And I wanted to speak today and tomorrow morning also from three verses from the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, an important literature by Srila Sanatana Goswami, most important literature. The Amrit, the nectar, immortal nectar of the Bhagavatam, that great literature. Do the deities get close now? Are they still? This is the time? Close. They get dressed now. Shishi Gornitai Ki. Shishi Radha Govardhana Dari Ki. Shri Krishna Balaram Ki. Shri Giriraj Govardhan Ki. Gaur Premanati. We are very fortunate to have an advanced copy of this book, which is being published by the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. It's at the printers now. And the translation is by our dear God brother, Sriman Gopi Puranadana Prabhu, and the editing is by our equally dear God brother, Sriman Keshav Bharati Prabhu. The commentary by Gopi Puranadana Prabhu includes Srila Sanatana Goswami's commentary. When I was in Fiji, I lectured from the 6th and 7th chapters of the first part, and I thought that now coming to in New Zealand, I started lecturing on the first chapter, Invocation Prayers. And I thought that I would continue on in my travel to go through these invocation prayers, which are very foundational to our philosophy. Srila Sanatana Goswami, of course, is the senior of the six Goswamis, and this particular literature was the seminal literature. This is the book out of which and from which, in terms of both content and inspiration, the Goswamis based most of their writings. They took inspiration and guidance from this particular work. It is very, very important work. I think that you will like the three verses that we will cover here, and I hope we can try to cover two tonight, but it's 3 hours later for me, and I'm trying not to look at the clock, although my internal clock is telling me what time it is. So we'll see how, if you are very attentive, it may keep me awake. So I pray that the listeners are inspired by Srila Sanatana Goswami's work. So, text number 5. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jayate Jayate Vrindaranyametan Murare Priyatamam Matisadu Santavaikunta Vasat Ramayate Sasadaga Palayan Yatra Gopihi Svarita Madhura Venur Vardayan Premarase. We'll do the word for word. Jayati, Jayati.
Jayati, Jayati.
All glories, all glories.
All glories, all glories.
Vrindaranyam.
To Vrindavan Forest.
Etat.
Etat.
This.
This.
Murare.
Of Lord
Krishna.
Krishna.
Priyatamam.
Most dear.
Ati,
Ati,
more,
Sadhu,
Sadhu,
of elevated saints,
Svanta,
in their hearts,
Vaikuntha,
in
Vaikuntha,
Vasa,
then reciting,
Ramayati,
gives pleasure.
Saha,
he, Krishna,
Sada,
always,
Gaha,
the cows,
Palayan,
while tending,
Yatra,
where,
Gopihi,
to the gopis,
Svarita,
is sounded.
Madhura,
sweetly,
sweetly.
Venuhu,
whose flute,
Vardayan,
increasing,
Prema,
pure love,
Rase,
in the mood of the Rasa
dance. I'm going to need some water. Okay, here's the translation. All glories, to this place where we are living, Lord Murari's Vrindavan Forest. He prefers residing here to residing in Vaikuntha or in the hearts of elevated saints. In Vrindavan, while always tending his cows, he gives pleasure to the gopis, whose love for him in the mood of the rasa dance he increases by sweetly playing his flute. And just as in Chaitanya Chaitamrita, the first 17 texts are the foundational texts out of which the whole Chaitanya Chaitamrita expands. So these invocation prayers are like this. They establish the subject matter, the themes of this book. Initially, the first prayer pays respects to Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The second text pays respects to Sri Radhika and the gopis. The third text to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The first really is to Krishna, but it's both to Krishna and Chaitanya. The fourth text to Mathura. The fifth text now to Vrindavan. That's why I thought it's appropriate. The fifth text is Vrindavan. The sixth text is Jamuna And the seventh text is Govardhan. So it's just the right place to speak on these topics. I'll take the bottle is better. Thank you very much for giving me a total bottle. Thank you. That's good. Keep the cap. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Okay. I'll read the translation one more time. All glories to this place where we are living. Because Sanatana Goswami is living in Vrindavan. Lord Murari's Vrindavan forest. You know that he lived in the forest. Different places. He and Srila Rupa Goswami and each of the Goswamis, they really did live under different trees regularly. A tree is a very special place. One time I was walking with Prabhupada in Regent's Park, and it was the winter, very cold, London. Cold there now, someone told me, it just snowed there. And it was ice on the ground. But Prabhupada, we were walking, and we noticed that right around the lake, there was no ice on the lake. And Prabhupada said that a tree keeps you warm in the winter and cool in the summer. But these Kalpavriksha trees have much more than in the Vrindavan Kalpavrikshas have much more than their physical assets. They grant the desires of the devotee, particularly the devotee, because they are very conscious and intelligent, as Krishna is. A Kalpavriksha, and for that matter the whole spiritual sky, is the expansion of Balaram's Sandini potency. And so, Krishna does not fulfill the material desires of his devotees, or if he does so, he does it in a way which allows them to go forward in their spiritual life. But he's very intelligent, and so are these Kalpavrikshas. Now, the six Goswamis, they would go from place to place, separately living and doing the bhajan, and from time to time they would come together and meet. So he is saying that we live in this forest, and he meant it literally. Sri Brajabhumi, this is the commentary, the most sacred part of Mathura district is where the Supreme Personality of Godhead displays his exceptionally sweet pastimes. Within Brajabhumi, three places are very special. The 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam first mentions these three places when Krishna and Balaram move from Mahavan to avoid the dangers developing there. Vrindavanam Govardhanam Yamuna Pulina Nicha Vikshyasit Uttama Priti Rama Madhavayor Nirpa. O King Parikshit, when Rama and Krishna saw Vrindavan, Govardhan, and the banks of the river Yamuna, they both enjoyed great pleasure. 10th canto, 11th chapter, 36th text. Since these three places are most dear to Krishna, Srila Sanatana Goswami praises them, beginning with Sri Vrindavan, in the hope of getting their mercy. Yesterday we spoke at New Barshana. And today we're speaking at New Govardhan. The Dham has the potency to give mercy. Chintamani Dham, sometimes it is called. Chintamani, it is a touchstone or the wish-fulfilling stone. You know the story. Sanatana Goswami had a Chintamani. And, you know the story. He kept it in where? He had a Sparshamani, actually. He didn't have a Chintamani. He had a touchstone, Sparshamani. And he kept it in a garbage pile. And in any case, that's not a Chintamani. The Chintamani is different than a Sparshamani. Okay, give Subhatmash. Subhakshami ki jai. We are fortunate to have a Dhamvasi here. We have a Dhamvasi and a damned Vasi. So, there's a big difference. There's a gulf of difference between a Sparshamani and a Chintamani. Because a Sparshamani can turn things into gold, but Chintamani turns everything into bhakti. It turns it into, it fulfills the desires of Krishna through the devotees. So the Dham is made of this special quality. And sometimes people wonder why it is that when we go to a holy Dham we see filth and other such things. We should understand, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, that there is a covering upon the Dham which protects it from the eyes of unqualified persons. I'm just going to briefly say what I said last night, very briefly. That Srila Prabhupada created a new Vrindavana. He also created a new Dwarka. He also created a new Navadvipa in Honolulu. He created a new Jagannath Puri in San Francisco. And we have to understand what Prabhupada's intention was. The New Vrindavan community was named after the same New Vrindavan which is mentioned in this book. Sanatana Goswami mentions that in Dwarka, Vishwakarma, the universal architect, created a New Vrindavan where Krishna could find the fulfillment of his desires, because even when he is in Dwarka, he hankers after Vrindavan. In fact, the whole first part of this book is a story of Sri Narad Muni, the narration of Sri Narad Muni, trying to discover who has received the greatest favor of Krishna. And the conclusion is that the gopis, the Nanda Vrajavasis, and finally among them the gopis, are the recipients of the full mercy of Krishna. So Prabhupada named New Vrindavan after this New Vrindavan of Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And his intention in New Dwarka, New Jagannath Puri, and we can say at New Govardhan, the intention is that there should be a recreation of the very place after which the original place after which this place derives its name. Now you should recall that Srila Prabhupada wanted to go to Govardhan. That was his final desire. And there's a reason for this, because, well, we have to wait for the tomorrow's verse, but Govardhan has so much special significance. How you go? Kind of figure out a way to engage without discussion. So, this is New Govardhan. And if you can invoke the mood of the Govardhan Vasis, then it is possible for this place to fulfill all your spiritual desires, just as Srila Sanatana Goswami is now praying that Vrindavan please bless him and fulfill his spiritual desires. Jayati, all glories, is repeated in this verse to express the super excellence of Vrindavan and the great joy the author feels in glorifying Vrindavan. Again, the proximate pronoun is used, a tut, this, to indicate that Srila Sanatana Goswami was living in Vrindavan forest while writing this book. In Vrindavan, the Supreme Lord displays a special beauty and loving mood he shows nowhere else. Therefore, the Lord's most expert devotees are more pleased by his presence in Vrindavan than by his presence in Vaikuntha or in the hearts of yogis. Krishna is eternally, eternally perceivable for his perfect devotees in Vrindavan, which is supremely attractive for them. Okay, what are we going to do? Because I'm not going to lecture. If you're going to, I can't. I want to focus on this. So, does this project outside? Okay, if you just have your child, then you can be right outside and you'll hear, and we won't hear. And that'll serve everybody's purpose better. Okay, thank you. Sorry to trouble you, but therefore, the Lord's most expert devotees are more pleased by his presence in Vrindavan than by his presence in Vaikuntha or in the hearts of yogis. Krishna is eternally perceivable for his perfect devotees in Vrindavan, which is supremely attractive for them because of his unequaled beauty and the endless flow of the all-attractive pastimes he displays there. No such overwhelming ecstatic experience is found in the heart of a yogi or in the official kingdom of God. So the sweetness of Vrindavan is due to the nature of the love of the Vrijvasis. The Vrijvasis have a type of bhakti that is spontaneous and which eternally resides within their core of their hearts. Nothing has induced this love, but it is naturally there. And it is never overwhelmed by anything, such as Krishna's supreme opulences, as it is found to be in Mathura and Dwarka. The Brijvasis love Krishna in a natural, spontaneous mood of affection, known as Ragatmika Bhakti. They are attracted to Krishna's beauty. They're attracted to Krishna's flute playing. They're attracted to Krishna's pastimes. And these attractive features of Krishna make their love special. The gopis, when they saw, when they were missing Krishna after the rasa dance, they had a vision of Lord Narayan. Krishna tried to conceal himself from them by taking the form of Lord Narayan. And the gopis were not impressed, although when Dhruvamara saw Lord Narayan, he was overwhelmed with ecstasy. We therefore have to understand that Krishna's appearance or nature is such that no other form of the Lord will satisfy the residents of Vrindavan. In fact, Krishna could not conceal himself for long, and especially it is said that when Srimati Radharani appeared before this four-armed form of the Lord, two of the arms went away and Krishna revealed himself. In other words, the love of the devotee brings out the sweet qualities of Krishna. And this is a very wonderful feature of the Lord. Although God is great and perfect in all respects, he reciprocates with the nature of love of his devotee. And each type of loving mood brings out from Krishna a different response. Rupa Goswami has glorified Vrindavan as the most perfect place for Krishna. It is where Krishna is most perfect. And this is because of the nature of the devotees there. Sometimes the personality of Godhead is present in his other abodes without showing himself, but never so in Vrindavan. As mentioned in regard to text 4, Lord Hari is always present in Mathura, Nityam Sannihito Hari. But the word for presence, Sannihita, can also be understood to mean hidden. In Mathura, the Lord, although present, may be hidden. In contrast, even after Krishna and Balaram transferred themselves to Mathura, the ladies of Mathura described the Lord's wandering throughout Vrajabhumi in the present tense, implying that he was still manifest there as he is now and always. Punyabhata Vrajabhuvo Yadayam Nirlingaha Guda Purana Purusho Vana Chitta Malyaha Gapalayan Sahabala Krinayams Chavenum Vikritan Shatigi Ditra Ramar Chitangrihi. How pious are the tracts of land in Braja, for there the primeval personality of Godhead, disguising himself with human traits, wanders about enacting his many pastimes. His feet are worshipped by Lord Shiva and the goddess Rama. Adorned with wonderfully variegated flowers garlands, he vibrates his flute as he tends the cows in the company of Lord Balaram. Now, the question has to be raised, how is it possible that it says that Krishna is always present and always not hidden or visible in Vrindavan? Because we understand that Krishna leaves Vrindavan and goes to Mathura to kill Kamsa. The answer is that Krishna of Vrindavan is Shyamasundar Krishna. This is the Swayamrupa form of Krishna, the original form. And the form that goes to kill Kamsa is an expanded form known as Vasudev Krishna. Vasudev Krishna is sometimes with two arms and sometimes with four arms. And he is present, as are all the different avatars and expansions, within the original personality or Swayamrupa form of Krishna. So, although it appears that Krishna leaves Vrindavan, he does not. Rather, he enters into the hearts of all the residents of Vrindavan. But when he is in the hearts of the residents of Vrindavan, although he is now in an aprakat form, that means unmanifest form. The word aprakat means unmanifest to the eyes of those who do not have proper spiritual vision. The fact is that for the residents of Vrindavan, Krishna was actually present before them. He was able to be seen by them. Srimati Radhika says in a number of places that she cannot understand what is happening to her, because sometimes she sees Krishna inside and sometimes he appears to be outside, and she doesn't know whether she is becoming mad or not. So the fact is that the residents of Vrindavan, due to their intensity of their love and separation, actually behold Krishna all the time. So the ladies of Mathura said that Krishna continues to perform his pastimes in Vrindavan. And this is what we are told, that even today in Vrindavan, Krishna's pastimes are going on. We simply have to learn to have the eyes to see them. Similarly, we can say that if your devotion becomes so intense, then there is no reason why at New Govardhan Krishna cannot perform his pastimes. The question is only how much it will take from all of us to make those pastimes become realizable. While we are expanding this community externally, we have to expand the dham internally. We have to know how to worship Krishna at Govardhan in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. Because Govardhan is not in Dwarka, it's not in Mathura, but it's in Vrindavan, and it has a special mood, as does all of Vrindavan. So Sanatana Goswami is praying to the Dham for the mercy of the Dham. And what is that mercy? He doesn't want even liberation, what to speak of fulfillment of material desires. He wants unalloyed bhakti, kaivala bhakti, causeless bhakti, ahoituki bhakti. As described by Srila Sanatana Goswami in the current verse, Krishna is always busy tending his cows in the Vrindavan forest. At the same time, he manages to keep the gopis, headed by Sri Radhika, immersed in complete happiness by always finding opportunities to engage with them in the rasa dance and other loving pastimes. When he plays his flute, whose charming sound attracts the entire universe, his outward purpose is to call the cows. But simultaneously, he awakens the gopis' anticipation of their later enjoyment with him. Certainly, his main purpose in playing his flute is to increase the gopis' ecstasy, since expanding the enjoyment of loving exchanges with devotees in this and other relationships is the ultimate reason for his appearance on earth. Herding cows and flirting with young girls are but means to this end. The sound of Krishna's flute has been glorified in many verses of the Bhagavatam and other literature. And there are many pastimes which take place on account of this flute. The sound of Krishna's flute has the unique quality that when Krishna plays his flute, each and every one of his devotees feels as if she or he is being called. The cows hear their names, the cowherd boys hear their names, the parents hear their names, and the gopis hear theirs. This is the super excellent quality of Krishna's flute. And that means also that the flute makes a sound which vibrates according to different rasas, because each of these devotees has a different relationship with Krishna. And so the particular mood of the gopis of Sringara Rasa becomes inflamed or increased by the sound of Krishna's flute. Sometimes this flute becomes the source of so many pastimes, because the gopis try to steal this flute, and Krishna has to search for the flute, and this gives them opportunities for so many loving exchanges. The gopis sometimes become jealous of the flute. In the Nectar of Devotion, there is a nice verse which describes how the flute is always able to taste the nectar of Krishna's lips, and so the gopis wish that they could have such fortune, and they become jealous. Even though the flute is said to be a male, the gopis say, how is it that you can enjoy what we as females want so much to enjoy, the nectar of Krishna's lips? Pretty intense sound. What is that? Frogs and crickets? How many? Is that one? Huh? More than one. Is that everywhere around here or just here? Around the greenhouse too. You hear that? Puts you to sleep.
When I fall asleep. Something is dust now.
Oh.
Something is dust.
Tape is off. See, when you live in a city, you hear the drone of the motorway, and here you hear this sound. But this is much nicer. We'll go to the next verse. Jayate tarani putri damaraja swasasya kalayati maturaya sakyam atyeti gangam murahara dahita tatpada padma prasutam bahati chamakarandam nirapura chalena. My son. Let's save that for the else. We'll save that for tomorrow morning. Maybe you can ask some questions to Klon for me. I just need a little help. So if you give me some help, then I can say something more perhaps about Vrindavan. Questions? Could you speak a little louder because of the cicadas? I'll listen.
You said, well, developing Govardhan externally, community, we have to develop it internally.
Yes.
Worshipping Krishna and Govardhan as it's supposed to be. Can you?
Yeah. Yeah, the internal development of Govardhan is like this. Govardhan is the place of Krishna's pastimes. It is called Haridasvarya. In the Venu Gita, the gopis refer to Govardhan as the best of all the servants of Hari. Sometimes we worship Giriraj Govardhan as Krishna, but generally the Vrijvasis worship him as Haridas Varyo. So he's simultaneously worshipped as God and the devotee of God. In any case, the fact is that there are so many pastimes performed at Govardhan. And Govardhan is blessed because when Krishna plays there, it is just as if the pastimes are going on the lap of Govardhan. In other words, all of the confidential pastimes of Krishna and the gopis, Krishna and the cowherd boys, Govardhan knows about these. And therefore, devotees circumambulate Govardhan Hill according to Krishna's order, and their prayer is that these pastimes should always be enacted within the devotee's heart. Now, when it says that pastimes should be enacted within the devotee's heart, it means that we should become so familiar with the pastimes of Krishna that practically the pastimes go on like a flow within our hearts or minds. Just as in a river there are pools of water in circling rivers of water, circling pools of water within a river. Similarly, each pastime is like a special pool of nectar or water. And gradually, as one becomes more and more advanced, these become continuous flow like a river. That means the pastimes go on spontaneously within us. In order to make that happen, one has to practice meditating upon Krishna's name, his form, his qualities, and his pastimes. Just like we have built or renovated a place at Govardhan, Bhaktivedanta Ashram. Now that place is in between two very important Leela places, or three you could say. One is Dangati, where Krishna took taxes from the gopis. The gopis were headed for a yagna, and they were carrying so many different milk products in order to give to the persons who were performing the yagna. When Krishna intercepted them, and of course they protested that we are clean, we have taken our bath, don't touch us, you're contaminated. And, you know, Krishna said, that's all right, but you have to pay a tax, a toll. And really, the toll that he wanted from them is described by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Dhanakela Chintamani. He wrote a beautiful, long poem. Srila Rupa Goswami also wrote a drama, Dhanakela Komodi. So both of them wrote extensively about this pastime of taking the toll. The gopis, the next day, got back at Krishna. I mean, it's not just that he took the milk products. He took the milk products, but the milk products are symbolic and of the offering of the gopis' beauty for Krishna's satisfaction. So the next day, at Dhanivartana Kund, which is on the other side, our ashram is just beside. There's Dangati, then our ashram, Dhanivartana Kund, the lake where the gopis got retaliation against Krishna and his friends. And then a little further on is Aniyor, where Krishna said, Aniyor, Aniyor, give me more, when they were feeding him at the time of Govardhan Puja. Every one of the spots around Govardhan Hill is known for some specific pastime. So we should become so familiar with Govardhan that we know all the pastimes, we know all the players of the pastimes, We know the moods in which they play these pastimes. And if you're really into it, you can recreate that dharma. Just like I have said at other places, that there's a new Brajadam in Hungary. Shivram Maharaj is making new Brajadam. Or let's just say, we go back to New Vrindavan. Prabhupada said make 7 principal temples. In other words, he wanted to recreate Vrindavan. So if you want to recreate Govardhan, fine. Then where is Aniyur? Where is Dangati? Where is Dandivartana Kund? Where is Radhakund and Shamakund? All of these should be there. There's no reason why you can't make these. And if you find it too hard to make them physically, in any case, you have to make them within your mind. You have to be so familiar with them. And if you get that sense of living at Govardhan, then really this becomes new Govardhan. And the Dham can fulfill all desires. Because if you become very expert in such a process of meditation, then surely the Dham will manifest itself and give you all mercy. Prabhupada really had that intention. He didn't think that everyone could always be able to go to India. And so he wanted devotees to feel the mercy and reciprocation from places where they were doing devotional service. And that is what finally, you know, makes the Dham really powerful, is when there are sadhus who visit the Dham. So if persons who are living here, if the persons who live here are sadhus, then this is possible to make this place really Govardhan, new Govardhan. So internal meditation, I mean like that. That we really begin to get the sense that I'm living at Govardhan. And then you have to be in the mood of Govardhan Vasis. There's one Govardhan Vasi who comes to our ashram every day and he eats unlimited sweets. Have you seen him?
Yeah.
You met him?
He always speaks Brajabhasa.
Huh?
Nobody can understand what he's saying.
He's speaking Brajabhasa.
They have one year too much. He's still the Swiss.
Huh?
They have some years too. He's still the Swiss.
Well, you got one part of it, Red. Now just get everything else right and you'll be a governor. We got the sweet stealing under control. Radhakund, Shamakund. Then you'll be in bliss all the time. You'll be in so much happiness. When then we'll start to see people doing Dandabhat Parikramas. People will come. Instead of driving up in their four-wheel pickups, they'll come from their house doing Dandavats. They're very ecstatic, Dhamvasis. Very naturally, spontaneously ecstatic. Because they feel that they're living with Krishna. That's the main point. You have to understand why they feel this way. The Varshanavasis really feel that Radha is living there now. They don't think that we're living where she used to live. They believe she is there now. And the people at Govardhan believe that these pastimes are going on now. And if you don't believe that, then you're worshipping idols. If you think anything else, then you're idol worshippers. You're idolaters. So this requires some very intense and sincere seva. Chanting, preaching, with all the types of devotional service you're going to do, do it with great intensity and pray you know, for this ability to see the pastimes of Govardhan here in New Govardhan. That's what I would do if I was living here. I'd figure out where Don Nivartana Kund is, and I'd build my ashram, just like I did at Govardhan. I like that pastime. That's a very good pastime. That's such a good place to live. I derive so much satisfaction chanting at our place at Govardhan, knowing that this is the place of Don Nivartana Kund. Right there. Another question or comment? Pancharatna Prabhu.
You were describing all the gopis when Krishna appeared in the lion form. They weren't attractive. How do we understand in this respect is the idea of unalloyed love? In that, if their love seemed to be, from one sense, it seems that it was conditioned by Krishna's appearance. That when Krishna didn't appear the way they were attracted to, they weren't satisfied. How do we understand?
The question is, how do we understand that the gopis' love is unconditional? If when Krishna took the form of Narayan to conceal himself, the gopis weren't satisfied. The gopis' love is described as ekanishta. It is faith, and it is one point of faith, and that is in Krishna. They are unalloyed in the sense that they only want Krishna and no one else. The example is given not just of the gopis, about Nanda and Yasoda, that they got Krishna as their son, whereas Vasudeva and Devaki didn't. They got Narayan as their son, and then Krishna, because they had prayed that they wanted a son just like Krishna. But Nanda and Yasoda wanted Krishna and nobody else. So the special quality of the Brijbasis is that. Now, it may seem to be a condition, but we have to understand that if the gopis had been satisfied with Narayan, first of all, they wouldn't have been gopis. And secondly, they wouldn't have pleased Krishna. In other words, the gopis are so constituted and they're so expert that everything they do gives unlimited pleasure to Krishna. This is hard for us to understand, because it appears as if when the gopis dress themselves nicely and ornament themselves, and when they are hankering to be with Krishna, that they have some personal motive. But Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says they don't. That even in their behavior of apparently enjoying with Krishna, it is meant to give Krishna satisfaction. That Krishna becomes pleased seeing how pleased his devotees are in love with him. And this gives him unlimited pleasure. So the kind of behavior that they showed when they were dissatisfied or unmoved in seeing Narayan actually gave Krishna far greater pleasure than if suddenly they had said, oh, this form will do. If we can't get Krishna, I mean, that's almost like, that's lack of chastity, wouldn't it? It would be like that for them. they'd say, well, if we can't have you in one way, we'll have you in another way. But they weren't like that. Just like another example, Radharani and the gopis meeting Krishna at Kurukshetra. There's a famous verse that Rupa Goswami cites, and in Padyavali, that's cited again in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, that these are the same moon-filled nights when we met. You are the same Krishna, I am the same Radha, but still it is not complete because this is not Vrindavan. So Radharani couldn't be satisfied meeting Krishna at Kurukshetra, and she wanted to take Krishna back to Vrindavan, as did the other gopis. And that's how Lord Chaitanya celebrates the Ratha Yatra. So there's again an instance. Now this is a very far out instance in a sense. First of all, we could say that the Krishna she was with was Dwarka Krishna or Vasudev Krishna, but I don't think we can say that, because Krishna cannot maintain the mood entirely of Dwarka when he's with Radharani. So what this means is that it's not only Krishna, but it must also be Vrindavan. It has to be Krishna in Vrindavan, not Krishna in Dwarka. And that's why in the play Lalita Madhava, which is a very fascinating play, again, Radha and Krishna meet, or you can say Satyabhama and Krishna meet in a Vrindavan in Dwarka. They can't be satisfied in Dwarka. They have to be in a Vrindavan in Dwarka. Because if there's no Vrindavan, there's no Govardhan. If there's no Govardhan, no Jamuna. All of the things which the peacocks, the peacock feather, the dress of Krishna, these are all said to be stimulations for the love of the gopis, for Krishna. So Radharani doesn't become attracted in the same way when she sees Krishna dressed as he dresses in Mathura and Dwarka, as she does when he dresses in Vrindavan. And this is all stated in this book, Brihad Bhagavatam, that brings all of this out. In the 6th and 7th chapters, Rohini Devi in Dwarka, Uddhava, and Balaram himself raised the question of whether Krishna really misses his devotees. And they place a doubt, saying that if he did, how could he allow them to suffer the way they do, now that he's left? And gradually Krishna states the reason why he went to Mathura and Dwarka, which had very little to do with killing Kamsa. That was the external, he explains, it's the external reason. But, you know, he had another intention entirely, which was that he felt it would be easier for the Vrijvasis if he was not physically present. Because he saw that in his physical presence there were even more difficulty. Now that may be hard for us to understand, but that's the type of love they had. Radharani sitting with Krishna at Prem Sarovar, and she falls into a trance thinking that Krishna's left her. You know, and she can't function. I mean, actually, this is a strange religion. It makes everybody dysfunctional. Everybody's praying to become dysfunctional. In this world, everybody's praying to become, get out of the dysfunctioning condition. And here we pray to become dysfunctional. It is a topsy-turvy world, Vrindavan. And, you know, it can't be artificially imitated. The mood of the Vrijvasis cannot. It has to come by very steady and gradual practice of sadhana bhakti. But the best thing is to at least know also what the mood of these residents of Vrindavan is, and to pray to, you know, one day develop the qualification. Because we can't imitate now, but we can pray for that day to come. And that's what the prayers of Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Narottam Thakur are. They're praying to become so qualified, although they are qualified, but they're praying for our sake, they write for our sake. Another question.
Maharaj, you were saying that the Chamsunda Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, but it's called Krishna.
Yeah.
And I've read where Prabhupada was saying that the Vasudeva Krishna, like you were saying, is the one who leaves
and kills the demons too.
Yeah, but then Prabhupada was saying that Vasudeva Krishna is actually an expansion of Balaram.
Yes, that's true.
So I was wondering if Vasudeva Krishna is in Dwarka and he's an expansion of Balaram, and Balaram is there as well, is original Krishna and Balaram there, or is it Balaram and an expansion of Balaram as Krishna?
Vasudeva and Shankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. Because it goes in that order. First Krishna, then Balaram. Everyone expands from Balaram. But we should understand, yes, everybody expands from Balaram. But still, although expanding from Balaram, it's like Krishna expanding. It's Vasudeva Krishna expanding from Balaram. It's not Balaram, it's Krishna expanded from Balaram or through Balaram. It means that Krishna is married to Rukmini. Balaram's not married to Rukmini. That's the point to understand. Dwarkadish, Rukmini Dwarkadish is not Balaram. That is unthinkable. Balaram has his own wives. So that should make it clear by seeing who the queens are. But the expansion goes through the potency of it. It's explained like that. As one candle, it's Brahma Samhita explains, one candle lighting another candle, lighting another candle, and so they all expand. So since Krishna goes to Balaram, and then that goes to all others, it's like that. But another thing to understand is that there's never a time when these personalities do not exist. We just say it like this to give the sense of order and hierarchy. But in fact, they're eternal personalities. There is never a time when there was not Dwarka and that Krishna was not married to Rukmini. They're eternally married. Similarly, Radha and Krishna have always been there, as has Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although it's said that when Krishna wanted to understand Radha's love, he took the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is eternal. Navadvip Dham is at the center of Goloka Dham. It's eternally there. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Panchatattva eternally perform pastimes in the center of Goloka Dham, which is Navadvip. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that if you have faith and devotion equally for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and for Krishna, then you can get two forms and simultaneously be present in both of their lila. And that's hard to understand, but some things are inconceivable. Lucky that the process is so easy, all you have to do is chant Hare Krishna. That is very fortunate.
If you worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then automatically worshiping Radha Krishna.
Actually, you can't get to worship Radha Krishna unless you worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this point must be understood. Why it is that in our Gaudiya Sampradaya, so much importance and priority is given to Mayapur and Navadvipa. Because in the conditioned stage, it is very difficult to worship. You cannot worship Radha Krishna very properly. Because the right mood, according to one's inner nature, let's say the mood of the gopis, is Shringara Ras. But Dasya Ras, or the mood of a servitor, is much easier for us to emulate in any stage, including the conditioned stage. And all of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates worship him in this mood of Dasya. They all have that mood mixed with other moods. So, as Ramananda Roy showed, if you properly worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he will show himself. Just like in Srivasangam, during the Mahaprakash Lila, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed himself to be so many different forms according to the inner desire of each of his worshippers. So our process is, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that you worship Guru Gauranga. You worship Guru, you worship the Acharyas in the line, you worship the six Goswamis, you worship Nityananda Prabhu. And by their mercy, you get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And under their guidance, you serve Lord Chaitanya. That's why Srila Prabhupada propagated so vigorously the Sankirtan movement. He knew that by pushing us to preach and expand Krishna consciousness, we would get the maximum degree of mercy from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that would give us qualification to one day worship Radha Krishna. Actually, Prabhupada knew exactly how to make us qualified. He knows very well what our fallen condition is. He knows where we're starting from. And he exactly in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has an external purpose and an internal purpose. Externally, and that doesn't mean, external and internal, you should always remember, doesn't mean material and spiritual. And it doesn't mean more or less. It means exactly what it says. One is visible and the other one is an internal type of thing. The external purpose is to deliver the world, to give mercy. And the internal purpose for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to taste the different rasas. So Prabhupada knew that both purposes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be fulfilled by propagating the Sankirtan mission. The world would get delivered, or as much of it as we can hope to give them the opportunity for it, and internally all realizations will come, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be pleased by the Sankirtan Yajna, and he will bless us with all transcendental realization. So, yes, we should worship. And therefore, when we go in darshan every day, we start with the Guru Gauranga altar. In fact, we start with the founder, Srila Prabhupada. Come in the temple, offer your obeisances to Prabhupada. Then you go to the Guru Gauranga altar and you gradually darshan. And finally, you come to Govardhan. Krishna Balarama Govardhan. This is such a good place to be living. You just have to be in the right mood. You have to think that you're really in Braj and not near the Gold Coast. The Gold Coast is like Sparshamani. This is supposed to be Chintamani Dham, not Sparshamani Dham. Ladies have not asked any questions. Okay.
Maharaj, appreciating last slides of Lord Chaitanya, I appreciate. So, in the condition of the Prabhupada's in nature and the softness and the words. So, when we perceiving things, what can we do to check the perception?
Yes, at the end of the Rasa-lila section of the Bhagavatam, it says that this narration has the power to overcome all lusty desires. And Prabhupada makes this point at the beginning of the Krishna book. So the pastimes of Krishna have the power, whatever the pastimes may be, including and especially Rasa-lila, have the power to help us to overcome material desires. This is the way to overcome. If one thinks, just like sometimes we used to make life members in Indian, people would say, when Krishna directs me, I'll become your life member.
When Krishna wills, I'll become your life member. Or when we tell them to chant, they say, you know, first let me get free from my sinful habits, then I'll chant. But we understand that from the beginning the chanting has to take place, and from the beginning you should give your contribution. And similarly, at any stage one is at, the pastimes of Krishna are so potent that they will actually give you a higher taste. That's why from the earliest time Prabhupada summarized, translated the 10th canto. It's very amazing. He kept saying throughout the 9 cantos, don't go read the 10th canto until you go through the 9 cantos, right? But from the very beginning, he gives you Krishna book, which is the 10th canto. It is completely the 10th canto, verse by verse of the 10th canto. He calls it a summary study, but it's practically a verse by verse translation of the whole 10th canto. And he tells us, mass distribute it. Now, what that means is that in association with, you know, a personality like Prabhupada, there's no danger. You can hear the pastimes of Krishna without fear. And, you know, I have great faith that Prabhupada's followers and Prabhupada get the same types of shelter. In other words, I truly believe that, as Prabhupada said, when I asked him how many pure devotees are there, and he said, how many pure devotees are there in this movement? In other words, if we are not pure devotees, we're the type of pure devotion. So, having been trained by, you know, the system and philosophy of Prabhupada, it's possible in good association with the devotees to hear Krishna's pastimes and get purified. And those give a higher faith. That's why Krishna performed them.
Just take a quick, you know, just like we drove from Brisbane, imagine if you could just hop in a car and in an hour and a half be in Mayapur. That'd be pretty nice. And if every morning, supposing you could do it in 5 minutes, I suspect you'd probably go there to chant your rounds. Because it's powerful. It's the Dham. So, go create the Dham in your mind. What does it mean when it says, you know, you have to install Krishna within your heart, within the throne in your heart? That means your heart has to become a Dham. And it says that wherever a pure devotee travels, you know, it is a place of pilgrimage. It's a holy place. Because he or she, they have created a Dham within their heart. And Krishna is residing within them. Krishna, you know, it's a question of whether you want the Paramatma in your heart or you want, what form do you want to be in your heart? Paramatma is there automatically. But remember, the gopis didn't go for that. When they saw Narayan, they went Namo Narayan and, you know, kept looking. So, yogis are satisfied with Paramatma. But the Vaishnavas, they don't want to meditate on Paramatma. They want... There's a beautiful verse that says, you know, that may Lord Chaitanya, you know, the lion-like Lord Chaitanya come into my heart and, you know, rip out all of the anarthas. So if we accept that the Paramatma is one of the expanded forms of Krishna, just like, look at how, what does it say when Krishna took his birth? First he appeared in the mind of Vasudev, right? The mind or heart, it doesn't matter. In Indian, you know, philosophy, the mind and the heart are not divided as they are in Western philosophy. First he appeared in the heart and mind of Vasudeva, and then he was transferred into the heart of Devaki. So, that's Krishna. The Paramatma, you know, that's not talking about Paramatma. That's talking about Krishna. At least Vasudeva Krishna. So, who's in the heart of the gopis? You know, Krishna. So make your heart like that, that Krishna will sit down there. And Krishna comes wherever those pastimes are remembered. Remember, whenever Lord Nityananda would do Sankirtan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be attracted to it. Nisringa Brahmachari made a path, and Lord Chaitanya went walking on that path. So this is the internal creation of the Dham. And the external creation will follow automatically. And we'll be happy. We'll always be happy. Could you say that again?
The kingdom of God was mentioned in Vrindavan.
Yes. It said the official, I think the words, let's see what he said. the official, I read it today, didn't I? It says the official kingdom. Yes, here it is. No such overwhelming ecstatic experience is found in the heart of a yogi or in the official kingdom of God. That means in the Vaikuntha region. It's official with awe and reverence. We're God's office. Official means the office of God. Krishna is when God, you know, goes out of the office, takes off his working clothes and puts and plays. That's Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, wanted to go there but couldn't, because she couldn't get out of that mood of awe and reverence. So again, the power of the pastimes of Krishna are such that they will gradually elevate you beyond awe and reverence. Krishna's sweetness has overcome, and actually it is already happening. Again, you know, really it does happen very quickly. Although we do Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, there are elements of rag inside the Vaidhi, and there are prayers for it also, just like in the prayer to Tulsi Devi. What are we praying? Please make me your maid servant. There are elements, you know, this is not Vaidhi Bhakti reading Krishna book. Krishna book is not Vaidhi Bhakti. It's not rules and regulations. It's all spontaneous. These are spontaneous devotees. These are Ragatmika Bhaktis. Ragatmika Bhakti, according to Nectar Devotion, is the mood of the eternal residence of Vrindavan. They are Ragatmika Bhaktis. So when you read the first 35, 40 chapters of Krishna book, you're reading about Ragatmika devotees. That's part of Ragatmika Bhakti. It's just that we are just hearing. We're not doing much more than hearing, but that's a beginning. Hearing is a beginning. So that means the Prophet is giving you everything there. You just have to gradually progress through. And I mean to say that we're already being attracted by Krishna's sweetness. We're already, from the very beginning, we're starting to become attracted. But as long as, you know, until that sweetness comes and we become overwhelmingly attracted, then rules and instructions of the, you know, law and order prevails, you can say. So the official kingdom of God means Vaikuntha. Pure rag anuga bhakti, you know, Prabhupada said, is a liberated condition, means one's material desires should have gone. So it's a stage where but when it says material desires have gone, it means the grossest material desires, and the trace remains until bhav and prem come. So we can hear Krishna book, we can read Chaitanya Chaitamrita. Chaitanya Chaitamrita is full of Krishna lila, isn't it? It's constantly full of Krishna lila. Well, it's all there. Just open our eyes and open our hearts. Do you get another darshan, or the deities rest now? They're resting already, at least to our eyes. We know that that's not the case. Krishna doesn't need to go to sleep. He doesn't sleep in Braj. That's just a way of getting his parents out of the way. So we're like his parents, and they say, "Very good, boys. Now you're taking rest." But that's, you know, we should, again, If you're aware of the pastimes, then you think when you come in as a pujari in the morning, you know, again, how do you worship a deity? Externally, in form, you will do all the things described in Archan Padati. But what happens in the mind is a whole other thing. It just depends on your meditation. But Ran and Krishna are not just, you know, I mean, at least they're not according to any scripture. They're active. They're very active. And this is Govinda. Okay, well, we should let them go to sleep. They're tired. And that way they'll be wide awake tomorrow morning. And we'll continue. We have to read Yamuna, prayer to the Yamuna, and prayer to Govardhan. So, I'm sorry if I spoke slowly, but it's now midnight. And that's what happens. Your speech becomes slurred. And my mind probably as well. So thank you very much. Pancha kapa turu vaishjaki vashindu bhivacha. Patitanam bhavani bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo nama.
Maharaj ki jai.